Hello, my name is Jessica and I am a history hunter, part of Heritage Learning Lancashire. Our job is to bring history to life. Today I have the answers to a few questions about the Great Fire of London. So let's find out what you wanted to know. The first question is from Abdullah and his question is, where was the fire brigade when the fire was so big? Well, Abdullah, there was no fire brigade in London at the time of the Great Fire. So Londoners themselves had to put out the blaze, helped by local soldiers. Samuel Pepys, who wrote a diary at the time, recorded that even the King, Charles II, was seen helping to put out the fire. Equipment was stored in local churches. They used leather buckets filled with water, and also axes, water squirts, and fire hooks. Fire hooks were long metal hooks that were used to pull down houses and building. The best way to stop a fire was to create fire breaks or gaps by pulling down houses. However, this was difficult because the wind was so strong that it was blowing the fire across the gaps. The Mayor of London, Thomas Bludworth, complained, "The fire overtakes us faster than we can do it." A quicker way of tearing down houses was to blow them up with gunpowder. This technique was used on the third day of the fire and was carried out by the Navy. Fire posts, each with around 130 men, were set up around the city to fight the blaze. By the night of the third day, the wind dropped and the firefighters finally gained control. Question two, and this is from Dua. Why were the houses different shapes? Well, before the Great Fire, London was full of narrow streets and wooden houses crammed alongside one another. Many people had moved to the city in the centuries before the Great Fire, meaning that lots of houses were built close to one another to accommodate lots of people living within a small area. The houses often had upper floors called jetties that lent outwards over the street below. Houses were built like this to make rooms in the upper parts of the house larger, while allowing maximum street width below. If you find a modern photograph of the Shambles in York, you will see an example of this sort of house. And question three from Zoya. Did the Houses of Parliament burn down too, even though they were so big? Well, at the time of the Great Fire of London, the site of the Commons Chamber, which is where members of Parliament come together to talk, was St. Stephen's Chapel in Westminster. The fire did not reach this far and therefore it did not burn down in 1666. However, there was a large fire which destroyed this building centuries later in 1834. Following this, the Palace of Westminster was built. This is more commonly known as the Houses of Parliament and is where Parliament still sits to this day. Question four, where did the people go when the fire was burning? And that question's from Lily May. That's a really interesting question, Lily May. As the fire was spreading so quickly, most Londoners concentrated on escaping rather than fighting the fire. They rescued as many of their belongings as they could carry and ran away as fast as they could. Thomas Farriner, who owned the bakery where the fire had started, and his family had to climb out of an upstairs window and onto their neighbour's roof to escape the fire. Many people ran to the long river that runs through the middle of the city, the River Thames. They loaded themselves and their belongings onto boats and rowed away to safety. Other people rushed through the city gates and went to the fields that were outside the city at that time. They stayed there for a long time, sheltering in tents and shacks. Some people were forced to live like this for months and even years as their homes had been destroyed. Question five. How did life change after the fire had taken place? Well, it took nearly 50 years to rebuild the burnt area of London. St. Paul's Cathedral was not completed until 1711. That's 45 years after the Great Fire. The city and the cathedral looked very different afterwards. Following the fire, people cleared rubble and examined the burnt area. Then lots of time was spent planning where the new streets would lie and what the new buildings would look like. The new city was planned by a man called Sir Christopher Wren. To make sure that such a disaster could not happen again, a list of rules was made for the new buildings. They now had to be made from brick instead of wood so that they would not burn so easily, and the streets were widened so that houses were not as close together. The rebuilding of London included a very tall monument. It is positioned close to the site where the fire first started, in Thomas Farriner's bakery. It stands there to this day and reminds us of this significant event in history. Question 6. How did people go to the toilet if they didn't have a bathroom? If you were a very rich person and lived in a big house or a castle, then you might have a room for going to the toilet. This was known as a garde-loo, which means watch out for the water. This was a very basic type of toilet, which consisted of a piece of wood or stone that you could sit on and a chute that emptied the waste outside. However, most people would have gone to the toilet in a large pot, known as a chamber pot. If they lived close enough, they might empty their chamber pot into a river. This same river would have been used for washing up and doing laundry. In towns and cities, people would shout, "Garde-loo!" as a warning, and then throw their wee and poo out of the window onto the streets below. Yuck! Question 7. What clothes did people wear in the 17th century? When it came to clothes in the 17th century, a lot of people copied the French styles. The French king, Louis XIV, was bald, so started to wear wigs. French lords and ladies began to wear them too, to look more like the king, and this fashion also spread to Britain. Men began to wear early versions of what we would now call a suit. The coat or tunic would be long, usually coming down to his knee, and would have lots of buttons. The trousers would be short, stopping just below the knee, with stockings worn underneath over the lower leg. Women wore bodices, which were close-fitting garments that buttoned up or laced up over the woman's upper half and were worn over their undergarments. Skirts were full-flowing and long enough to reach the floor. Rich people would have worn expensive fabrics such as velvet, satin, silk and lace, while poor people would have worn more simple designs made from wool and linen. Question 8. Why do we not have videos or photographs of the fire? This is an interesting question, and the answer to this is that cameras and video cameras had not been invented at the time of the Great Fire of London. Cameras did not become widely used until the late Victorian era, that's over 200 years after the Great Fire. However, there are paintings of the Great Fire, some done by artists who would have actually witnessed the blaze. Perhaps you could do some research to find out more about them. Question 9. What food did people eat in London in the 17th century? Well, a staple food for many people during the 17th century was called pottage. This was a type of stew made in a pot. Vegetables, meat, and lentils would have been added, then it would have been thickened with bread. The pottage could remain over the fire for several days, ingredients being added when some was eaten. Both poor and rich people ate pottage, although a rich person's pottage might include more expensive ingredients, such as bacon and eggs. Sweet and savoury pies and puddings were popular in the 17th century, and bread was a staple in most people's diet. In London, people would have had more access to foods being imported from overseas, such as bananas, pineapples, coffee beans and sugar, which was so popular it was nicknamed white gold by the plantation owners who farmed it in the Caribbean. And question 10, what did children do in the 17th century? Well, in many ways, children living in this time were treated as small adults. In poorer households, children would have been given jobs and household chores from around the time that they could walk. Poor children would not have gone to school, so would have not learned to read or write. Boys would have started to go out to work, usually with their father to begin with, from around the age of 7. Children from richer families went to a type of infant school called petty school. When they were older, the boys went to grammar school. Girls would either be taught at home by their mother or go to something called dame school, where they would learn to read and write and do activities such as needlecraft. Rich children would have been able to enjoy toys such as rocking horses, dolls and skittles. Children from poor families mostly relied on their imagination or played games with each other for fun. They would have enjoyed playing games such as tag, hopscotch, races and leapfrog, many of which we still enjoy today. Toys would have been made from whatever they could find. Spinning tops, quoits and jacks would all have been made out of pieces of wood, rope or old animal bones that could be found lying around. I've really enjoyed answering these questions about the 17th century and the Great Fire of London. I hope they make you want to find out more. This is Jessica, the History Hunter, saying goodbye. Goodbye.